It's my mate Vicky. Can I pray for you?
Yeah.
Is that right? She's great, isn't she? We love Vicks. One of the reasons we love you is because you're authentic. What you get on the tin is what's inside. In fact, what's inside is even better, in my experience of working with this lady, than what's on the tin. And she's paying a big, big price to be a leader in this church. It's not easy living in a community where people have shed loads of money and you don't. It's a price to pay, is it not? I think so. So we honour you in this house and we love you in this house. You mean a lot to us. We've learnt a lot from you. So why don't you, if you're comfortable, just reach out your hand, close your eyes and pray towards my friend. You need to know this is a place where you can feel really at home. Where you don't have to fight for your words to be heard. But there's actually a platform for your words, which is your life. And who you are already and what you've brought. And we thank you for that platform and how that platform has already so impacted our lives and just done something so deep inside of us already. So we pray today that as you speak about God's economy, that you will discover again how rich you really, really are. And we just ask a very simple thing, give us your heart. Perhaps throw away your notes and just talk about what is really for you today, because we want to learn. And we speak blessing over you, and we speak, you know, we do speak money over you. We pray that the money that you might need for some of the trips that I know you're thinking about, we pray that you will receive that money. And that's been something you've been thinking about just this last week, and Father knows that. And part of you receiving that money is about you speaking today.
Great. Hello, everyone. Okay. Well, I just want you to turn with me, first of all, in your Bibles. I just felt in the worship, just for us to have a look at this, to Romans chapter 8. Because it's so good to know that we're in a win-win situation. Do you know that you're in a win-win situation? Some people do. I like interaction, so anything you can give back to me always goes down well. But yeah, let's just go to Romans chapter 8, verse 18. And I'm just going to read through it. And I just want to believe that as we read these words, that the Holy Spirit is going to re-speak into our hearts. So yeah, just receive from the Holy Spirit. So this is Paul talking. He says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." It's good news, isn't it? "For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God." So that's talking about how creation is waiting for us as the sons and daughters of God to rise up to be who God's called us to be. And that's possible right now. You know, it's not the future, it's now. "For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because of the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only that, but we also..." Sorry, I'm getting confused with my words here. "Have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body." Okay, I'm not going to read all of this. Let's skip forward to verse 28. "But we know that in all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose." And then let's just go to verse 31. "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect?" So that's us. "It's God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. I'll just go on to verse 37. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's good, isn't it? You know, no matter what is going on in our lives or around us, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. It's not necessarily suggesting that these things around us suddenly stop happening. It's in those things that it doesn't separate us from the love of God. We can be in these terrible situations and yet still be experiencing the love of God and therefore kind of be in a different place, which is good, isn't it? So I just wanted to start off by saying that, because in the worship I was just like really overwhelmed by the love of God, and I just was thinking again, wow, God is like, we only catch a small glimpse of how much God loves us, and we just get that back into perspective. It's like nothing else matters, and it's a simple thing, but we need to go back to that place and just keep on bringing ourselves back to it. When we feel like maybe we're twisting our attention from it, we come back to that place of just putting ourselves in God's love. Because that's the key. That's where we're supposed to be living from. Once we start walking outside of that, that's when, you know, things become so much harder for us to deal with. But we're in that place of God's love. We're in a win-win situation because we know that God is working for our good. Okay, so as Al's been saying, we're going to be looking at God's economy today. And as we were going into 2009, obviously, towards the end of last year, you know, things in our world economy started becoming more apparent that they weren't going so well. And kind of over Christmas time, I was just thinking about these things and praying into them. And I just felt this such a sense of God just saying, this is the time for us as the church to put our trust in God's economy and to really learn what that means. And that, you know, there's something that God, I really believe that the Holy Spirit just is coming in this time and giving us revelation, teaching us what it really means to live in God's economy. And I just believe that he's going to become revelation to us, and it's going to set us free from chains that have bound us, where we've been trusting in the world's economy and not being free to walk this life of faith under God's economy. And just as I was reflecting on this, I came across these verses. And if you just go with me to Revelation 18, verse 11. And as I was reading this, for those of you who know the book of Revelation, those of you who don't, it's a prophetic book, and it's like poetical language. So just bear that in mind as we're reading it through. And as I was reading these verses, I thought, cool, this kind of seems to be saying something into our current situation that's going on in our world. And I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. It says, "The merchants of the world will weep and mourn for her." So it's talking about Babylon, the fall of Babylon. "For there is no one left to buy their goods. She bought great quantities of gold, silver, jewels and pearls, fine linen, purple, silk and scarlet cloth, things made of fragrant lion wood, ivory goods and objects made of expensive wood and bronze, iron and marble. She also bought cinnamon, spice, incense, myrrh, frankincense, wine, olive oil, fine flour, wheat, cattle, sheep, horses, chariots and bodies. That is human slaves. The fancy things you love so much are gone," they cry. "All your luxuries and splendor are gone forever, never to be yours again. The merchants who became wealthy by selling her these things will stand at a distance, terrified by her great torment. They will weep and cry out, 'How terrible for that great city.' She was clothed in finest purple and scarlet linens, decked out with gold and precious stones and pearls. In a single moment, all the wealth of the city is gone. And all the captains of the merchant ships and their passengers and sailors and crews will stand at a distance. They will cry out as they watch the smoke ascend, and they will say, 'Where is there another city as great as this?' And they will weep and throw dust on their heads to show their grief. and they will cry out, how terrible for that great city. The ship owners became wealthy by transporting her great wealth on the seas. In a single moment, it is all gone. And I don't know what you think about that, but I thought kind of maybe that's something about what's going on in our world, that these wonderful things that people trusted in and they were great and wonderful, but it's all kind of gradually falling apart maybe. And, you know, in Revelation, Babylon represents sinful humanity, self-delusion, ambition and pride. So it's like this great city was built on things that are not of God, not of his economy. And we see these things going on all around us. But the good news is that we can put our trust in God's economy. And God's economy is the economy of heaven. That sounds good, doesn't it? Heaven is so much better than what was just described in that Babylon passage. So we're winners. Yeah. I don't want to just hype you up, but I just like us to get excited because it's good. You know, it's just, we're hearing terrible stories at the moment of how what's going on in the world is really affecting people's lives. When I spoke on a similar thing to what I'm speaking on today in the journey in January, and that week, there was a story in the news of, I don't know if you remember it, a guy who was a major. He was 65. He was a retired army officer, and he shot himself in a park in Southampton because he just lost all his life savings through the alleged fraud scandal in America. I can't remember the name. What's his name? Madoff. Okay. So, you know, it's a terrible thing. This guy, you know, he's put his trust in the world's economy, and when it failed him, he had no hope, and he ended his life. And it's just so terrible because you just know that isn't the way it has to be. And we as the church need to know the truth of God's economy, of what that means for us, so that we can show the world a different way in this time. You know, I just believe that God is going to turn it around for his good. It says, you know, God works all things together for good. And I believe he's going to do that in the situation that we have an opportunity to show the world a different way. You know, Ecclesiastes 5 verse 10 says, he who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. So true. You know, Mark 8 verse 36, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? So true, but it's so different to the way that our world lives. So I just want us to think about what God's economy looks like. You know, it's really important for us, first of all, just to remind ourselves of the nature and character of the one who is leading this economy, investing in it. You know, just these simple things, but it's so important to remind ourselves of it. First of all, God is love. Love. That is the leader of our economy that we can put our trust in. The God who is love. 1 John 4 verse 16 says that. He's good. So important. God is good. He's working for our good. He's a father who knows how to give good gifts to his children. I think that's in Luke 11. That's so important for us to know. He is a good father who knows how to give good gifts to his children. He's gracious and forgiving. You know, sometimes for some of us, maybe we're blaming ourselves for some of the situations we're finding ourselves in. Maybe it's with our businesses and we're thinking, oh, maybe if I'd done this or hadn't done that. I don't know, the kind of things that can go on in our heads. But God isn't seeing it that way. Even if we have made mistakes, he's gracious and forgiving. He works in partnership with us. We're not alone in all of this. It's one of the most important things for us to remember. God works in partnership with us. We can go to God and get wisdom from heaven to know how to deal with situations in our businesses, in our personal finances. We can get wisdom from heaven. It's simple stuff, but I just really feel it's important that we just remember it. He's a generous God. He's more generous than we realize. That's the one who's leading our economy. You know, we need to just consider the promises we have of God's children. You know, just simple things like Psalm 89 verse 11 says, talking about God, the heavens are yours, the earth is also yours, the world and all its fullness. You have founded them. It's so important to put that in perspective. God owns the whole world. Earth is his and everything in it, as it was in Psalm 24. I remember one time, right, I think it was before we started the journey, and I think me and Phil and Tracy and some others, we were just, because we really, though we still haven't seen this happen, but we really wanted to like open a coffee shop, and obviously we had no money at all. But I remember like we were like going around these places and just praying, God, give us this building. And I just remember thinking, this is so crazy because it's so impossible, but just that verse, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, just came to me so strongly of like, actually, you know what? God can do anything. This isn't such a weird prayer to pray. And it's just bringing us back to that perspective of who our God is. He works outside of our world systems. Hebrews 13 verse 5. Don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. This is why we're in a win-win situation. I know that some of us here have lost our jobs, or maybe things are really, really difficult in our businesses, or people that we really love and care for, and that's really hard and tough. And it's not trying to kind of push that under the carpet and say, oh, well, you just need to get over it because God's good, you know, in this kind of unrealistic way. No, God wants us to be real about how difficult those things are, real about our disappointments, real about our pain. And in that place, we meet God and we find his strength to walk through those things. And we find that even in the painful times, God is ultimately working for our good. There will be better seasons again. This might be a difficult season, but we will come into better seasons. And I just feel that's really important. You know, in Philippians 4, it talks about a promise of peace, that the peace of God will guard our hearts and minds. We need that so much in these times, that peace, true peace deep in our hearts that will carry us through, so we don't need to be up at night, you know, mulling it over and over and over, just feeling on edge. God can actually bring his peace into those situations. And as people see that peace in us, they'll want it. People that don't know that it's available, and that it's going to be opportunities for us to minister to people. I'm just reading through simple verses, but just really, you know, the word of God is our food, and we need to just meditate on these. If you just want to go with me to Matthew 6, just verse 25 to 34, I'm just going to read it all. It's just this passage that many of us will know well. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns. For your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. Okay. They won't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wild flowers, God, that's a nice way of putting it, isn't it? Wonderfully for wild flowers, and are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. You know, yeah, I just thought it's important to read that, just to remind ourselves of these truths that Jesus tells us to leave. And I just remembered I didn't finish what I started off by saying about what I was feeling when I was praying about this at kind of Christmas time and coming into this year. And I just really feel that it's going to be unusual times, that we're going to see, you know, difficult things will happen, but at the same time, we're going to see extraordinary things happen where we see supernatural break in. And just as we were coming into this year, I just really feeling stuff about God cancelling people's mortgages supernaturally. And I just felt like not to push into that because of what was going on in the world. So I was really feeling this. And then a really crazy thing happened, which I take as a prophetic sign of what God wants to do. Basically, my whole life, I've always heard my dad say, oh, is a check coming through the post that's going to clear off my mortgage and how great that would be and all that stuff. Anyway, my mum and dad's mortgage got cleared in January. I want a little bit more enthusiasm. They got given some money that cleared their whole mortgage. And I was just like taking this as a prophetic sign of, you know, what God is wanting to do in this time, of seeing the supernatural break in where there's something about God's economy coming into that situation that they get this inheritance money and their mortgage is cleared. And I've heard of other situations across the church where God has just come in and done some supernatural things. And I think it's going to be a strange season. We're going to see some people going through some difficult things where it's like maybe job loss or things like that. And then we're going to see God supernaturally breaking over here. But that's where it's this thing about God has called us to be a family, to be in it together. You know, I love when you read in Acts 2 and it's talking about the early church and how they shared everything, how some people sold their houses to give to those who were in need. And there's a real sense in which I feel God is really calling us to be a family, to be there for each other in situations. One person over here may be in need. They might have lost their job. Someone over here might get a breakthrough in business or some kind of supernatural thing. But we need to be looking out for each other in it. Because once we see it in that way as a family kind of thing, then it is a slightly different perspective rather than just seeing it as an individual situation. I think God wants to change our kind of dynamic in that. Okay, I'm just kind of sharing you my various thoughts on these things, but let's just keep going through these verses. 2 Peter 1 verse 3 says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. So we can stand on these verses. God will give us everything that we need. You know, it might not be coming in the ways that we knew it to come before, but we can still trust in God who's going to do that. Psalm 23 verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. Philippians 4 verse 19 is talking about how God will supply our needs from his riches. He's going to supply our needs from his riches. It's encouraging. And in Matthew 6 verse 10 to 11, when Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray, he tells them to pray that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm praying that God would give us our daily bread. So if Jesus is telling us to pray these things, there's an expectation that that's what he wants to do for us. He wouldn't tell us to pray and then be like, oh no, sorry, I'm going to go not bother with that. He does it because this is what the promises are for us. And so I'm encouraged by the opportunity that we have, because I know that, you know, God walks with us through the good times and the bad times. You know, it's in him that we find strength. It's in him that we find hope. It's in him that we find our identity. You know, some of us, maybe we've spent our whole lives building up our business or working to our job, and or we've saved up a lot of money and we've been diligent and good with it. And maybe we've lost money on our shares. Maybe our business isn't going well, or maybe it's even gone bust, or we've lost our jobs. And these are difficult and painful things. But in God's economy, they don't count for nothing. They really don't. The things that we did where we, you know, kind of followed God in how we built up our business, how we followed God in our jobs, all these things, the things that we learn in it, they are worth everything in God's economy, because we take those things with us. And God is a God of restoration. He really is. He will make things up to us. You know, Paul talks about how he's learned to be content in every situation. Content when he has much. Content when he has little. And there's a freedom in that. And some of us, maybe that's something that we're learning at the moment, to be content. We've had times when we've had more and now maybe we've got less. But God, that contentment that we can find in God is just so powerful. So I've got 5 minutes left. I'm just seeing what I want to say. Okay, I don't think I actually want to say very much more. Because I feel like I've said what I need to say, and I'm trusting the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you. I just really feel that I'm just really believing that the Holy Spirit has just been bringing revelation to each of you about what it means for you personally to be putting your trust in God's economy. For some of you, he may have put his finger on things where you realize that you have been trusting in the world's economy. And there's an opportunity just to repent of where we've been putting our trust in the world's economy and to transfer our trust from that into God. And, you know, I just really believe that God wants to release a gift of faith to us. That, you know, it's that faith that causes us to believe that God is really who he says he is. That these verses that I've been reading out to us, that it's possible that God is a good God. He is a good, he's working for our good. We don't need to worry. We can have peace. We can trust him. Simple things, but we just need that faith to move our attention to God and say, okay, God, even though I don't know how you're going to do this, but I am believing that you are who you say you are, and that trusting your economy is a good thing. And so I just want to give us time just to respond to that and just to reflect ourselves and make that choice before God and say, I'm going to put my trust in your economy. I'm going to believe what you say. You know, if God tells you to do things that you're like, I don't know if that's going to work in this season. You know, if God can actually work it out. So it's like believing God in the things that he's telling us to do as well. And after we've done that as well, I also just want us to have a time where we can just really stand with people who haven't got a job at the moment. Maybe you just lost your job, or you've come out of a training time and you haven't been able to find a job yet. Those of you who really need God to help you in businesses, or whatever kind of way that the current situation is affecting you at the moment, I just want us to stand together as a family and really pray for each other into those situations. But to pray with faith that God is going to bring solutions into those situations. Now, the solutions may not be what we think they were going to be. You know, God does things in weird ways, but just actually allowing God to come into those situations and speak. And I just believe that some of us, you know, we really need to hear words of life today. And that as we're praying for each other, there's going to be a word of life that's going to be released over you, that's going to break something open for you. So I'll hand over to Al to lead us through.
Just close your eyes, would you? That'd be good. We just get you to close your eyes because it just means you can concentrate. It's nothing more than that. Why don't you just play some stuff for us, love? One of the things that's really impacted me through being around the guys at Bethel has been a talk I heard by Bill Johnson around the storm. And we all know the story. It's a really famous story. There's a lake. And some of us, I was just thinking about Stacey and others of us, have been around this lake. And when the storm gets up across this lake, believe me, it's a storm. It's a big lake and it's a big storm. And Jesus is in the boat. And he's asleep. And all the disciples are basically, in the vernacular, doing their crust. They're really worried. And they're frightened, they're terrified, and the storm is raging, and it's not looking too good. It's not looking too good. And Jesus stands up. And he stands right up in this boat, okay? And he quells the storm. He just speaks to the storm. Because the reality that was inside of him was greater than the physical storm. Do you get it?
Do you get it? So you're in a storm at the moment, but there's a reality inside of you that's bigger than the storm. A few weeks ago, I was really struggling with my business. Some of you know I employ about 20 people. And I had just one of those weeks where everything hit me. Debt, lawsuits, you name it, it came. Tap being turned off on major projects, just everything, you know, one of those great weeks. Praise the Lord. Weeks. Not too clever weeks. And I came in here on a Sunday morning, finding it slightly ironic, looking at this here. Some of you know we've won the bid to be on the main branding agency of the Olympics. And I was sitting looking at this all and I was thinking, well, God, that's a fat lot of good, wasn't it? Thanks for the Olympics. Thanks a lot. That's how I felt. That was the reality of how I felt. I'm being honest with you. That's how I felt. I was torn in my heart. One of the greatest moments in my career, yet one of the most difficult moments in my career. And I stood in this room and I just felt low. I felt down. I felt broken. And Rob Hayward played this amazing song and it just says, "You are clothed in royal majesty." And as he played this song, I imagined myself standing up and I imagined all this muck that was around me. And as I stood up, somebody came and put these clothes on me. And I discovered a new reality, which was that I'm a king. Because I'm a son of the living God. And the mire may still be there, and the problems may still be there, but the other reality is, I'm a king. I'm a king. This reality hasn't gone, this reality hasn't changed, but this reality overcomes this reality. Because this is more important than this. Yeah? So it's not Christian bubble, kiss your brains goodbye time. It's reality, it's authentic, but it's I believe in God. Yeah? So perhaps you're in a bit of a mire at the moment. Perhaps you'd like a bit of prayer at the moment. I'd just like you to stand. If that's you, just stand. I'd like you Bethel guys just to go and find a Brit. It's find a Brit time. Find a Brit time. Pray for him. Pray for him. Pray for him. And if you're on your own, I want some of Vicky. Could you please go and pray with Sarah? Because you've got faith in your heart today. Pete, could you go and play with Dave at the back, please? So should we pray for our friends, community of God? Should we pray for our friends? Should we do this thing together? So why don't you just quietly pray for somebody here? If you want to go and join one of your friends, that's fine. If you want to go and get coffee, get coffee. Father, we pray a blessing on these guys right now. We pray for a release of faith. We pray for Paul here and all he's doing and his bravery in wanting to bring through that hospital and bring it into reality. And we speak into the reality the dreams in your life at the moment. And we say they will not die. They will not die, Paul. For God has sent you there, my friend. So we speak into that reality right now. And we declare that hospital will be the Lord's. We declare that, Paul. And you'll remain that chief executive. That will be that day when you will be a chief executive. I see it, I see it, I see it. I speak it in. I speak it in, I speak it in. And your dream of creating a hospital that cares, that loves, that protects, that is well governed, that's on a good financial foundation, that really serves the community, that dream that's inside of you, Paul Ratton, we declare today that is a greater reality than the storm you are in at the moment. That's what we declare. because we believe in you, Paul, and we believe in our Lord. Because we like you, mate. We like you. We love you, in fact.